Well, good morning. It's so good to see each one of you here today at Poplar Springs Baptist Church, and it's always a joy and a privilege to be able to stand to bring God's Word, to open His Word, and share what the Lord has laid on my heart today. Thank you, Trey, and choir, and Stan, for the wonderful music today. We're blessed here at Poplar Springs. We don't want to take for granted the Lord's blessing here and all that He's doing, those that He has placed here to lead us in worship, Caitlin and Matt and all the musicians. We're just blessed, and we thank you guys for all you do and how you lead us in worship each week. So we're going on almost 3 years here that we have been at Poplar Springs. Time flies, as they say, when you're having fun, and it's been a joy to be here, to be at Poplar Springs. We felt right at home since day one. Y'all are family as I look out here this morning, and it's a joy, and it's a privilege to serve alongside each one of you. You've loved us, you've encouraged us, you've been there for us, and I just want to say thank you for who you are and for all you do as you shine your light and you show your love of Jesus to all those all around us, here in this church, in our community, and all over the world. Your heart for God's Word, it stands out, and I appreciate that. We're blessed to be a part of what God is doing here at Poplar Springs. This morning, we're going to be looking in Colossians chapter 1. If you have God's Word with you this morning, you can turn over to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 9 through 14. And our focus this morning is going to be on a walk that is worthy, a worthy walk, walking worthy in the manner of the Lord. We're going to be looking at that this morning. So while you're finding your place, we just want to make sure that everybody feels welcome here today. And if you don't have a personal copy of God's Word, we have some for you that you can find in the foyer. It's just a gift from our church to you. So we want you to have one. So take advantage of that before you leave today if you need a copy of God's Word. So I'd like to call your attention this morning to the screens here. We're gonna look here at something for just a minute. So when he is on duty, he will not vary a single step, no matter the weather, no matter the hour of the day, no matter the day of the week, no matter who may be watching, the number of people may be watching, no matter if no one is watching at all. He's a member of the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment of the United States Army, known as the Old Guard. The Old Guard are the men and women who guard the tomb of the unknown at Arlington National Cemetery. And since 1948, someone from the Old Guard has stood faithfully on guard every minute of every day. Inside the tomb of the unknowns are men who have given their life. They gave their life, the ultimate sacrifice, for the freedoms that we have and enjoy today. Such sacrifice is worth that 24-hour guard, 7 days a week, 12 months throughout the year. If you want to join this group, if you want to be a part, you'll have to learn a new prescribed, precise way to walk. It takes training. It takes much discipline. But those guards don't walk the same when they're on duty. When it's their turn to guard the tomb, their walk is different. So I want us to think about the Christian walk this morning as we think about the guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier. The Christian walk, we're going to look at that and what that means today as we dive into God's Word. And we're going to look at the call to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The word walk is used many times in the New Testament. It's a common word, and the call to walk is there. Often we find that. We find illustrations about how we're to walk. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in the light. But today the call is that we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The walk describes really who we are. It describes the way that we live our lives. So just like the guard at the tomb, who has a great honor and a great privilege to guard the tomb of the unknowns, those who sacrificed their lives so that we might have freedom. We as Christians have been charged to guard the name of Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins so that we might have eternal life. What a calling. What a calling is placed on me and on you, just like those in the old guard whose walk changes when it's time for them to serve, when it's time for their duty. Our walk as Christians changes when Christ comes into our life. As we read this passage this morning, I want you to ask yourself a question. How would you describe your walk for the Lord today? So if you'll join me now, we're going to read from God's Word from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, starting with verse 9. God's Word says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So this morning, as we look at Paul's prayer, it serves as a model for us today. It serves a model for us as individuals, for families, and for our church. We see here that Paul, he prays. In his prayer, he gives thanks for what's happening at the church in Colossae. He gives thanks because he's heard of their faith. He's heard of their love. He's heard of their hope that they have in Christ. So he's making constant prayer for them. We'll notice here that Paul didn't know them personally. He had never been there. He had just heard from his co-laborer, Epaphras. So what's going on? So and since that day that he first heard what was happening there, he's made constant prayer. He has a genuine concern and a care for these people. He knows that they have started a walk. They've started on a journey, and he also knows that there's prevalent teaching there. There's teaching that's false teaching going on, it's prevailing, and he's concerned. So he's praying constantly. He wasn't able to visit there. At this point, he's in prison. So what can Paul do? We know Paul likes to write letters. And he writes letters because of his genuine love and his care for people. And he here can write a letter, he can pray, and we find here this morning that he does both. He writes a letter that contains this prayer for the church at Colossae. It starts in verse 3, and it goes all the way to verse 14, so quite a lengthy prayer. But I want us this morning to look at it because it does serve as quite a model for us as individuals, for our families, and for our church today in three ways. The first way this morning in verse 9 we see, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with a knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So first of all, this morning we're reminded that the worthy walk requires knowing God's will. Requires us knowing God's will. So we find those words, "and so," those connect, right? They connect back to what Paul had written previously, where he had heard of what was happening at Colossae, and Paul had been faithful to pray since then. In this first part of the prayer, he asks in verse 9 that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul knows if they are to walk worthy, that they first must have a desire to be filled with a knowledge of God's will. And the word here, knowledge, comes from the Greek word epignosis. There we go. I think I got it right. Epignosis. which conveys precise, complete, full, and accurate knowledge of the truth. That word. That's what Paul's praying for. He's praying that they will seek a deep knowledge of his will that's found in his word. So his will here, what does his will mean? What does his will mean in this passage here? It refers to God's call, to God's command for us as Christians in every situation that we go through in life. In Romans 12, 2, the will of God is described as good, acceptable, and perfect. This prayer is that they would be filled. Notice that word filled. That they would be filled with knowledge in such a way that it would guide every step. It would guide who they are and what they strive to be. This goes further than just knowledge. So let's take just a minute here and look at some of these words. We have knowledge, we have wisdom, and we have understanding. I know you're probably familiar with what each one of these mean, but when we think of the word knowledge, it reminds us of the information that we gain through study or through experience. That's knowledge. But there's more to it than that. Wisdom, we find, is the practical application of the knowledge we learn from Scripture and the discernment of what is true and what is right. And then we see understanding. We might think of that word as insight. It's the ability to see what God intends for our good and for His glory. So we see those words here all together, both spiritual wisdom and understanding. They don't come through human reasoning. They come through the Spirit. They come as God's Holy Spirit teaches us those things. So to apply a few things here about knowledge and wisdom, let's think for just a second here. Knowledge understands that the light has turned red, okay? Think with me here. Knowledge understands that the light has turned red. Wisdom applies the brakes, right? So we see knowledge and we see wisdom. Knowledge sees the quicksand and it recognizes what it is. Wisdom walks around it, right? Knowledge recognizes the botanical fact that a tomato is a fruit, okay? Wisdom is not putting the tomato into a fruit salad, right? Some of you may have done that, and I guess that's okay. It doesn't sound too good, though. So we see the difference here between knowledge and wisdom and how that Paul's prayer is that they would be deep into God's word because of this call to walk worthy of the Lord. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 tells us to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To know the will of the Lord, we must be saturated in God's word, prayerfully seek a growing knowledge of who He is, what He expects of us, and how we can grow in our knowledge of Him. So we have to ask the question here as we move through this passage, why do we need to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Well, here in this passage, there's two things that stand out. In order to know what's true, right? When there's false teaching going on, we need to know the will of God. We need to know His word and what's true. So we don't stumble. So we hold to what's true. We also see that we need the will of God. We need that knowledge to walk. We need that wisdom. We need that understanding to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So let's see what next, what the worthy walk reveals about us as Christians today. So secondly, the worthy walk reveals that you belong to God. The worthy walk, okay? We're going to look at verses 10 through 12, and you'll notice some words underlined on the screen. These are ing words, participles, okay? There's going to be four of them, and they describe characteristics of one who walks worthy of the calling of the Lord. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose of walking worthy? We see here in verse 10, it is so that we would fully please Him. We're instructed in the Bible to walk worthy of our calling, to walk worthy of the gospel, and here in this passage, to walk worthy of the Lord. In these cases, it means to live up to the calling, to live in such a way that we honor and that we please God. Walking worthy of the Lord is the idea to live in a way that's consistent with our identity as a Christian. The word worthy is the idea of matching up. Matching up. Our lives should match the message of the gospel and the character of Christ by the way that we walk. So the command to walk worthy, it doesn't mean somehow that we merit or earn our position. Rather, Paul is teaching believers here in this passage that their lives would be lived in a way that show that they belong to God. So we know that the world is watching. We profess to be a Christian, and they're watching. They're seeing how we walk and how we live. So we're going to find four characteristics here of these words that describe one who is walking worthy to show that we belong to God. The first one here in verse 10 is bearing fruit. Bearing fruit in every good work. Jesus told us clearly what we must do in order to bear fruit. Fruit that's good. He tells us in John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we know that true fruitfulness begins in our heart with the fruit of the Spirit. That inner fruit affects our outward actions and the things that we say and the things that we do. And then our words and our lives will bring glory and honor to the Lord. And the result of spiritual fruitfulness is that God is glorified, that we grow in our walk, and that others come to know Christ. As followers of Christ, we must stay firmly connected to Him to remain spiritually productive. We want to let our light shine, as the Bible says, before others so they would see our good works and give glory to the Father. Our works are a fruit of God's grace. Our fruit should reveal that we belong to God, and others will notice that difference as they see God in and through us. The second ing word here in verse 10 is increasing in the knowledge of God, referring here to a depth and insight of God's word. In Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, Paul's prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. What a prayer. What a prayer that Paul prayed here for the church of Ephesus. And as we grow in the knowledge of God, we learn more about Him. We learn more about His will, His ways, His works, and His character. And when we learn more, we become more like Him. Increasing in our knowledge of God will produce a change in our lives. Our goal is to grow in that knowledge of God so that we become more like His Son. And so our lives will reveal something different to the world around us as we glorify God. They'll know that we belong to God. The third word here in verse 11, the ing word, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So it reminds us here that we can't walk worthy on our own. We need to be filled with His strength and filled with His power. He's the power source for all that we do. We can't rely on ourselves. We can't rely on our own strength. We're weak. But through Him, He gives us the strength that we can do all that He calls us to do. We find here that the walk involves endurance, the worthy walk. If we're going to walk in a manner that pleases Him, it's going to involve endurance. Tells us it's not going to be easy. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be hardship and stress. But through it all, we can cling to Him. We can endure. We can persevere through it, knowing that He gives us the power to do it and the patience to withstand. James 1, 2 and 3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." He gives us the endurance to deal triumphantly with whatever may come in our life. And I know a lot of you here today are going through struggles, hard times, health issues, hardships. But I want you to be reminded today that His power is there to strengthen you. His power is there. And you can endure with joy in knowing that God is with you. He's promised to never leave us, and He'll be with us. So when we choose joy in these times of trouble, people see a difference, right? They see a difference in the way we handle and how we respond to these situations as we reflect in our own lives that we belong to God. The last one of these ing words here in verse 12, we'll see here, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So when we walk worthy, we remember what He has done. If we're walking in His ways, we've got to have that at the center. We've got to remember who we are. We're nothing apart from Him. We remember what He's done in our life. The Bible tells us here that He's qualified us. He's enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. See, we've been delivered, those who have been redeemed. As the choir sung about this morning, we've been delivered from darkness. The saints, the believers in light, we have been given the promise of eternal life. And He's done something amazing as He qualifies us for this inheritance. So you might ask, how does a father qualify a person for his inheritance? You know, if you aren't his child, then you don't receive the inheritance. So you have to be adopted. We must be adopted. We must be born again into the family of God to receive this inheritance that Paul's writing about this morning. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Wow, when we think about the inheritance that He's provided, we've done nothing to earn it, but it should fill our hearts with thanksgiving and with gratitude because of what He's done. It shows others our life. If we live a life of gratitude, it spills over. Others see that, and they can take note that we belong to God. On this next slide here that you'll see, it's something you'll probably notice that doesn't match up. And I promise, I didn't Photoshop this. I saw it and I said, "Oh, wow, is that right?" And so I turned around, went back, I said, "Hey, I need to take a picture of this." You're probably not going to see this very often. A Kroger truck in the Publix parking lot, okay? I don't know why. I don't know what was going on, but it didn't match, right? It doesn't match. And I thought about our life. Are we living consistent with the message of the gospel? Do our lives match up with what God expects to see in our lives? Others are watching. It's for our good. It's for His glory. Others are paying attention, and our testimony is on the line. So I want you to remember that this morning. To walk worthy means that we're reflecting in our walk the worth of our Lord. We're called to reflect Him and reveal to others that we belong to Him. Through those things we've looked at, these four ING words, I want you to remember those. Is the fruit evident in our lives? Are the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding growing us in a sense of wonder, in a sense of delight of the Lord, and moving us to treasure His words so that others can clearly see that our walk reflects that we belong to Him? Are we choosing joy as we go throughout life despite the challenges, despite the trials, realizing that God will provide the strength we need? Do our words and our actions, do they match up? Do they show hearts that are full of thanksgiving for all He's done? And the last point this morning, the worthy walk remembers God's redemptive acts. As we see here in verses 13 and verses 14, listen to these words, the power here that we find in what God has done through His redemption. Again, the choir sang this morning about the redeemed. The redeemed, the song of the redeemed, those who have been washed in the blood, those who have been forgiven, tells us here what's happened. It says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. That sinful place where we all lived before we came to know Christ, but we have been delivered. And we've been transferred somewhere here. It tells us we've been transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom where everything is in His hands. You see, His beloved Son died willingly for us. He died because of His great love for us. So we have to ask the question here, how did He transfer? How did He deliver us? Well, we find in verse 14 the answer. We find through His Son, that's how it happened, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have forgiveness. Redemption reminds us that God gave His life. He shed His blood. He bore the punishment that we deserved. He took it upon Himself. And it resulted in forgiveness of our sins. And that set us free. That redemption. I want you to listen closely here to Colossians 2, 13 through 15. The power of what God has done. The Bible tells us there, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Wow, look what God has done. Look what Christ did for us. The Bible tells us that we can live victorious. Thanks be to God for the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He did here. He canceled the record of debt. He canceled that sin that was there. He canceled our sin. He nailed it to the cross and forgave us of our sins. No one else could pay that penalty. No one else could do what God done in Christ Jesus. He is the perfect Lamb of God. And because of His love for us, Christ's payment for the penalty of our sin on the cross, we have been redeemed. And the redeemed's response to what He's done is praise and thanksgiving. We sing and we praise Him and we commit to walk in a manner that's worthy to the Lord. So we think about victory. We all get excited about our college football teams. And as a Georgia fan, it was pretty remarkable that Georgia was able to win back-to-back championships in college football. But this past year proved it's hard to three-peat, right? It's hard to remain on top. It's hard to stay the victor there in the world, especially in the world of college football. But we can rest assured this morning that when Christ died and he rose again, he defeated sin, he defeated death completely, once and for all. He was victorious. He's victorious today, and he will be victorious forever. Nothing will stand in our way because of Christ dying for our sins. He canceled the record of debt, and he nailed it to the cross, and he's disarmed the rulers and authorities and triumphed as a victor. So this morning, I want us to look at this last photo here on the screen. I know some of you were talking about the Super Bowl this morning. I heard you. Some of you, like Joel's got on red. He said he was wearing red for the Chiefs, okay? I don't know if we've got any green here or not for the Eagles. But anyway, I want you to take note of these two quarterbacks. You may know or you may not, but they are playing tonight in the Super Bowl. These two guys are Christians, and they're outspoken about their faith. They've expressed their gratitude to the Lord for allowing them such opportunities, for the stage that he's given them, for them to walk in a manner that's worthy, that brings praise to him on the stage that he's given them. Prior to the Super Bowl last year, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for the Chiefs, shared that he prays at the goalpost prior to every game. And before every game, says he walks the field, he prays at the goalpost, and he thanks God for those opportunities. He says, "I thank God for letting me be on a stage where I can glorify him." During a post-game interview last Sunday, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts expressed gratitude to God after his team defeated the Commanders. Here's what he had to say. He thanked God for the opportunity, and he thanked him for giving him focus and resilience and steadfastness within it all. So these guys, think about what they've said. Think about who they are. Think about their stage. People are watching. Most of us are probably will never be on that stage at the Super Bowl. But whatever our stage is, maybe it's the classroom at school. Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Maybe it's in an office cubicle. Whatever your stage is that God has placed you, let's walk worthy. Let's walk worthy and show a remembrance and a gratitude for what he's done as he's redeemed us. So as we close this morning, we leave with a question, just one question. Are you walking worthy? That's the question this morning as we've looked at this passage from Colossians. We just have to ask ourselves, are we walking worthy? And let's remember the prayer that Paul prayed and the model, the example for us as individuals. We would have this desire to walk worthy, to represent him as a Christian in a way that brings honor and brings glory to him in all that we say and do. We want to pray for one another. We want to pray for our church, that we would always do that, that we would bring honor and glory to him. And those ing words would be real in our lives. And we would always remember what he's done, where he's brought us from. And we would give him praise for all those things. So here in just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to respond today if you feel God speaking to your heart. Maybe he showed you something today about your walk. He's revealed something to you today in a new way. And you want to come and pray. The altar here will be open for you to come and pray. Whatever it is that the Lord may be speaking to you about today, just be obedient. Just be obedient. Maybe you need to come. Maybe as a church, we want to come and pray and lift each other up. Pray for our church. We would walk worthy. We're living in evil times, in evil days, and we want to stand on the truth. The knowledge in his word, we want to have a zeal for that, a passion for it. We want to know the truth. We're going to hear a lot of false teaching all around us, but we want to stand on his truth and on his word and represent him in a way that walks worthy in the manner that we're called. Let's pray.